I invite you to take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. Paul wrote, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." As we come to these words of Paul, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Father, again, we ask for wisdom. Lord, that we will hear what you would have us to hear this morning. Not what Pastor Steve necessarily wants, not what the person next to me wants, but Lord, may we hear your Spirit in our hearts. Lord, may this be a time of learning with you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Before the internet and YouTube were items or things, people still had questions about how to do things. So we had things that we called books back in those days. Some of you may remember the series of books like How To Whatever for Dummies, which detailed step-by-step instructions and even diagrams to guide people. I suspect if we were to look, there's probably a book of How To Use YouTube for Dummies available in bookstores or the internet. I took some time after I wrote this part. I looked. They're available, but it's not right to use the word dummies anymore. Not politically correct again. When Paul wrote Ephesians, Christianity had been around for about 30 years. For most Christians in Ephesus, and for that matter, most Christians throughout the world, they were the first generation of Christians ever. So much of the New Testament, including Paul's letter to the Ephesians, could be called How to Be a Christian for Dummies. As you may remember, the first three chapters of Ephesians was the theory, the theology, the doctrine of Christianity. The last three chapters are applications, or the how-to part. That's why the first verse of chapter 4 begins with, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." When we got to chapter 5, Paul got a little more specific about how to walk or live as a Christian. He wrote, "Be imitators of God as dearly loved children." Using some of God's attributes, Paul wrote that children of God should walk in light and in love. In today's scripture, he added that God's children should walk in wisdom. He gave three principles with details as he wrote how to walk in wisdom. First, one must walk carefully. One must walk carefully. He wrote to walk not as unwise, but as wise. That is, to walk carefully, believers need to be wise, not foolish. Believers need to be wise and not foolish. There are many ways one can be foolish. One way is not to completely believe God. On the road to Emmaus, following Jesus' resurrection, Jesus told two depressed disciples in Luke 24 how foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. By not accepting part of God's word, one is walking foolishly. Or put it another way, it's foolish not to believe God's word completely. It's foolish not to believe God's word completely. A believer also walks foolishly when he is disobedient. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul wrote, "You foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Christ Jesus was clearly portrayed as crucified. Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" The Galatians had been persuaded that the human idea that one had to earn his salvation rather than by faith. It's foolish to be disobedient. A third way to be foolish is to put one's heart on the wrong things. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." Foolishly things we place God as number one in a believer's life. It's foolish to set one's heart on wrong things. Romans 16:9 says, Christians must be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. In other words, be wise, not foolish. Paul then went on to write, to walk carefully because one's time on this earth is limited. One's time on this earth is limited. David wrote about this. Turn to Psalm 39. Psalm 49, just verses 4 and 5. David writes in verse 4 of Psalm 39, Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. In Psalm 90, verse 5, Moses wrote, The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we had the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Now I realize that for some of you, younger people, 70 or 80 years sounds like a long, long time. I can remember when I thought anyone over 40 years old was ancient, but no longer. 40 was a long, long time ago. But as the saying goes, time is relative. For children waiting for Christmas, the 4 weeks of Advent seem to take forever. But for parents trying to get everything ready, those same 4 weeks seem to fly by. In verse 12 of Psalm 90, Moses prayed, Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Linda, my financial planner, has planned my living until I'm 86 years old. That means I have less than 3,285 days left to live. But actually, neither my financial advisor nor my doctor can guarantee how many more days I will live. James 4:14 says, You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. Our time on earth is limited. And since it is limited, like rare jewels, our time is valuable. We need to walk carefully. Because of this time limit, walking carefully means believers need to plan their days. Believers need to plan their days. A foolish man doesn't make plans. Instead, he allows himself to be blown around by everything and anything that comes his way. A wise man makes plans and prepares for the future, and then isn't driven by any unexpected happenstance. Proverbs 24:27 says, Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. If one is going to walk carefully, he needs to plan his days. When a man builds a house, he first draws up plans so he knows what to do. Yet how many Christians plan their days so that they can use their opportunities wisely? As James wrote, we cannot know what a day may bring, but it is also true that a planned life can better deal with unexpected events and can better use the time that one does have. Walk carefully. First, believers need to be wise, not foolish. It's foolish not to believe God's word completely. It's foolish to be disobedient. It's foolish to set one's heart on wrong things. One's time on earth is limited, and believers need to plan their days. After writing to walk carefully, Paul wrote that to walk in wisdom, one must make the most of every opportunity. One must make the most of every opportunity, not only because of the shortness of time, but because the days are evil. Satan is a robber and a thief, and one of the things he tries to rob from us is our time, because time is a very precious commodity. But it is only sin that makes demands on our time or wastes our time. Sometimes good things can make inappropriate demands on our times. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, begin verse 38. Luke chapter 10, begin verse 38. A story we all know. Luke 10, begin verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Martha wasn't doing anything sinful by preparing a meal in the kitchen. The problem was she was so preoccupied with what she was doing, she didn't have time for God, who was right there in her living room. In our busy, hurried society, we pack as much into life as we can. We get so caught up in the here and now that we, sometimes like Martha, fail to deal with the eternal. We don't take time to be with God through studying his word or in prayer, let alone by doing what he wants us to do. Paul kind of reminded the Galatians in chapter 6 like this way. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." There are so many demands on our time, so many good things that need to be done. But with only 8,760 hours in a year, we need to choose wisely. We need to walk carefully. We need to make the most of every opportunity. And to do that, Paul wrote that to walk in wisdom, believers need to understand the Lord's will. Believers need to understand the Lord's will. Looking at the results of sin that are all around us, both locally and nationally. Looking at the unending needs for evangelism and service to others in Christ's name. It's easy to feel overwhelmed. One can be tempted to give up and withdraw, or become so involved that nothing is accomplished or completed. And a person becomes burnt out, even discouraged. Trying to run ahead of God only puts one farther behind in God's work. A foolish believer tries to function apart from God's will. Wise believers need to understand the Lord's will. This is the third principle. Understand the Lord's will. Understanding the Lord's will means to study God's word. Listen to the Holy Spirit to discover and then do the will of God. God has a plan for each individual Christian. That's what Paul meant, I think, in Ephesians 2:10, where he wrote, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." As his child, God has a purpose for your life, and you should discover that purpose and then guide your life accordingly. All those plans and his directions for each individual Christian aren't found in Scripture. The general principles for understanding them are. God doesn't promise to show us his will through visions or strange coincidences or miracles. He doesn't play a divine guessing game with us, seeing if we can somehow stumble upon his will, kind of like a small child finding an egg at an Easter egg hunt. But we can discover the will of God as he transforms our minds. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." This transformation by the Holy Spirit is a result of the Word of God, of prayer, of contemplating, thinking about the Word, and of worshiping God. God gave each person a mind, and he expects you to use yours. This means that learning his will involves purposely studying his Word, gathering facts, examining them, praying for his wisdom. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all, without finding fault, and it will be given to him." James added in verse 22, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. God doesn't want one to simply know his will. He wants his children to understand his will and then to do it. God's first and primary will for every person is that he be saved and brought into the family and kingdom of God. 1 Peter 3:9 says, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Paul also wrote that God's will is that believers are to be filled with the Spirit. This applies to all Christians, not just to a select few. The verb in Ephesians 5:18 really should be translated, keep being filled. That is, keep being filled with the Spirit. Christians should allow the Holy Spirit to fill them continuously, and not just on special occasions. To be filled with the Spirit means to be constantly directed by the Spirit in our minds, in our emotions, and our will. And when that happens, Paul wrote that we will speak to each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your hearts to the Lord. In our so-called age of wisdom, we're overloaded with so many things. We're overloaded with commitments. Sometimes we feel like we'll meet ourselves coming or going. We're overloaded with possessions. Our closets are full. Our garages are overflowed. Storage units are popping up all over the place. Many have gone into debt to pay for those things that they simply must have. Many are overloaded in the area of work. They get up early, they fight traffic, experience difficult working conditions because we have to if we're going to pay for all those things we've got to have. We're overloaded with information. With the internet and smartphones, iPads and tablets, we're connected to an information superhighway that uses up our time and bombards us with an overabundance of information. All of these things, and many of them are good things, make demands on our time. We need to walk carefully. Our days are numbered. We need to make the most of the opportunities that God sends our way. We must not waste or misuse valuable time, time that we will never get back. We need to understand God's will, God's good and acceptable and perfect will for our lives, so that the time, the opportunities we have, be used in the best way possible. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." This is walking wisely. So the question I guess this morning is, are you walking wisely? Let's pray. Lord, help us. We are certainly bombarded with all kinds of commitments and information. Lord, help us to be wise in how we use the time that's given to us. Lord, may we search out your will. Lord, then may we be quick to do it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.